Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Center and Providence Hospital as well. And a lot to talk about, Kathy. Let's start right here at home with what's happening in Valdez. And of course, we're always looking at case counts, but let's ask you today, where are we now, you know, if in reference where to where we've been, and what are you guys looking for now in the medical profession to feel like we're successful against COVID, or we're at least battling it, or, you know, how do you determine where we are in our community with COVID?
Well, so the numbers are down into the 20s this week, whereas they were the 30s last week in terms of how many active cases there are. So that's good. And the other thing that I like to look at is the commentary that Ali Furco, the city's information officer, puts out as to how many of those cases are linked to other cases. That is, if you can tell where every case came from, that's much more reassuring than if you've got, you know, 20 separate people who say, "Hi, I don't know where I got it." Then you know you've got lots of COVID out in the community. You know, lots of asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic people walking around, breathing on other people, and you don't know where it's coming from. All of these cases recently have been, or the vast majority have been linked to other cases. So, you know, somebody brings it in from outside, and then they give it to their family, who give it to the other people at school, or give it, and the first person gives it to people at the office. You know, whatever it is, or they invited friends over for dinner, whatever it was, and you can tell where it went from one person to the other person, and it all went back to an original source, as opposed to that being a whole bunch of the people bringing it back from outside, now, we don't even know where they got it from.
Yeah, why is it important that we know where they got it from, Kathy?
Well, because what you want to do is, when somebody tests positive, is to not only tell them to stay home and don't even go to the grocery store or get somebody to deliver things to you, but separate from the rest of your family so that they don't catch it from you. That's not an inevitable thing that everybody in your family is going to catch it from you. And you can, you know, the less the contact, the less chance they're going to get it. And, have those people stay home, so in case they are already infected and incubating the virus and they're going to become contagious in 4, 5, 6, 7 days, that they aren't at work, at school, having friends over, you know, whatever, going to friends' houses while, you know, when they were positive. So there's two parts to this. You know, there's the stay home if you're the one with the disease, but there's also the quarantine of the people who have been the close contacts. And so if that is done, then you stop it in its tracks. So getting people tested right away so we know who they are, and then taking their close contacts and keeping them home is a really important thing to do.
All right, and let's go next to vaccinations. And I know I had asked you in a last interview, or the one prior maybe, how, if anyone had tested positive that had the vaccine. And I believe at that time you said there have been cases where people have, in Valdez, tested positive in between when they were not fully vaccinated, but that no one had tested positive that was fully vaccinated. So is that still the case this week?
I don't know all the cases in Valdez because not all of them are tested at our facility, but I think that's still true. Did I talk about the healthcare worker positivity after vaccination last time, or did that happen right after Wednesday?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, so a lot of healthcare workers, including the people in Valdez, get tested once a week anyway, even whether they've been vaccinated or not. And this is how we're going to find out about asymptomatic cases, one of the ways we're going to find out about asymptomatic cases. So big hospital systems had tested a bunch of people, and the people who didn't get vaccinated, chose not to, had some reason not to, 2.6% of them tested positive in one of these follow-up asymptomatic testing things. Some of them were sick, some of them were asymptomatic. Of the people who had one of their vaccinations, a few of them, 1%, at 1.1, something like that, tested positive, and always within a week of their vaccination. So, in other words, it really hadn't had a even their first one hadn't had a chance to really soak in yet, so to speak. And of the people who had two vaccinations and 2 weeks afterwards, so they were fully vaccinated, 0.05%. So that's 50 times less likely to catch it. Now, those are weird numbers because that's healthcare professionals who have more positive patients coming into contact with them, and they're wearing more PPE. So don't look at the absolute numbers and compare them with the general public. But 2.6% down to 0.05% is a 50 times reduction. Not 50% less likely, but 50 times less likely. So they get the whole vaccination series. Seems to be really good. Also, the current recommendation is if you've had the disease, go get vaccinated anyway. In Europe, they are deciding that one dose of vaccine is good enough because it looks like the people who have been sick and then they get one dose are probably just as good as the people who got two doses of the vaccine. And that would make sense. You've had it twice, so to speak. At this time, the recommendation is even if you've had the disease, you should go get vaccinated so that you're like the person who had two vaccines.
All right. And this is a good point to refer back to. The state of Alaska sent out some information yesterday on total vaccinations in the state of Alaska, which I know friends of mine out of state have been asking, you know, well, where are you guys at? So here's where we're at as of yesterday. And this was at 2:30 yesterday. 44.3% of Alaskans age 16 and older have received at least their first vaccine dose. 36% of Alaskans 16 and older have been fully vaccinated. So there's the number of people. And then, well, let's get to vaccinations because one vaccination in particular has been halted, the Johnson & Johnson vaccination, due to some concerns. And so, Kathy, I am hoping you can speak to that today. I know we even had a Johnson & Johnson vaccine event scheduled here in Valdez. So I would assume that's been canceled. And you can give us the details on that.
Yeah, right. So the first big Johnson & Johnson vaccination event, the Civic Center kind of event, was supposed to happen tomorrow, and that's been put on hold, and those people are all being notified to hang on, we'll figure out what's going on. There have been some Johnson & Johnson vaccines given in other contexts, like certain industries and that sort of thing. So there have been some Johnson & Johnsons given here. What happened is that the system that is in place to report things that might be vaccine reactions had six people out of 6+ million people, so less than 1 in 1 million, that had a very severe, weird kind of blood clot. And people reported that saying, is this vaccine related or not? And then the computer says, oh, we've got a whole bunch of exactly the same thing. And so we got to pay attention to that.
And it looks
more
like
cases may come out of the woodwork once you announce that on the radio. People say, oh, I had a bad headache. I wonder if that was me.
It looks like, Kathy, it was a blood clot in women aged 18 to 48 years after vaccination. So it's, I mean, there is a little bit of a tighter window of who's being affected, I guess. I know it's, six women. So
right.
Anyways.
It's not, and also you have to remember that probably, since the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines came out first, a lot of the elders weren't being vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because it took, a couple months later to come out. So it probably was mainly going to younger people and not 80-year-olds. Anyway, so that's one of the things they're going to analyze is what's the rate in various age groups? What is it really a female-male thing, or is that just a coincidence? The other reason they halted it, besides a 1 in 1 million side effect, which is this is kind of similar to the thing they had in Europe, and then they said, oh, wait for a minute, and then they said, oh, actually, it's not a very common side effect, and a lot of people would have had blood clots anyway. Anyway, they need a time to figure out the numbers and see whether it really is an important side effect. You have to compare 1 in 1 million to to how many people would have died of COVID if they didn't get the vaccine. So, you know, they have to do all that kind of stuff. The other reason that this one probably got announced, like, right now to the public is that the usual way we treat blood clots is with heparin, and that would actually make things worse in this particular circumstance. No. So they wanted to make sure that the word got to all the medical facilities to say, hey, if you have somebody come in with this within 3 weeks of their Johnson & Johnson vaccine, think differently and don't just give them heparin, because this may be a real thing. What they're thinking preliminarily, based on stuff in Europe, is that some people get antibodies to something on the platelets. So that is, instead of just being immune to coronavirus, they're also attacking their own platelets. So far, all the cases have been within the first 2 weeks of getting the vaccine. So if you had it last month, don't worry. That's why they're saying 3 weeks, because all the cases so far have been within 2 weeks. So they're just trying to be really careful. So this is the system working. This is the system saying, whoa, wait a minute, we found out something we didn't know before we gave this to 6 million people. That's a pretty rare side effect, and so it takes a while for you to be able to identify it. And then saying, do we have to do anything about this? Do we have to change the vaccine? Do we have to only give it to men and not women? Or do we have to not give it at all? And try to be super-duper careful to make sure that the medical system knows how to respond if there's a problem. Same thing as the, anaphylaxis to the Pfizer and Moderna. And that's why we have anaphylaxis kits every place the vaccine's being given. And it turns out to be rare as hen's teeth, too. But want to make sure we're prepared.
And as you mentioned, those 6 U.S. cases flagged were in the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, or the VAERS, is that how you pronounce
right.
it, system. Anyway, are people using that? Any numbers or idea of how many people are? Because that's a kind of a volunteer self-reporting system.
No, there's actually 2 systems. So there's the VAERS system, which has been there for everything. It's there for every vaccine that there is. You know, your kid gets their whooping cough shot, and you can report any reverse. And in fact, I'm obliged as the person who gave the shot to report that. The patient can report it. They can just tell their doctor about it. The doctor has to report it. So these are pretty big events, and they were reported to the VAERS system. There's also VSafe, which is the one that they've put out just for the COVID vaccines, which is the one you volunteer for. And they're hoping by that mechanism to find out the little side effects. You know, how sore does your arm get and how many people have a fever afterwards? And so if you have a fever of 102, does that mean you really should stay home from work because maybe it's the disease instead of the vaccine? So you might pick it up on the VSafe system, and then there's also the VAERS system.
All right. Any word if people are using the VSafe system? You know what, is it 10%?
I don't know how many people are using that. I know when I have, been up at various vaccine events and gone around and asked people, most people have been happy to load up the app. Some people didn't want to be bothered or were worried that it would be federal people querying them. But, you know, you could have not answered the questions later when they texted you. I think a lot of people are using that system, but I don't know the numbers.
Sure. Exactly. All right. So what does that mean for our situation here for upcoming vaccination clinics?
Well, we have Moderna and Pfizer vaccine clinics, and this pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has nothing to do with that. A lot more of those vaccines have been given so far because of the timing of when they were approved. I think I heard that nationally it's 5% of the vaccine has been Johnson & Johnson so far. So they're plugging along with the Moderna and the Pfizer, and we may be a little short on vaccine for a while if everybody was promised Johnson & Johnson, and then all of a sudden there isn't any of that for a few days, a month, forever. We don't know that yet. They're supposed to be deciding today, or at least deciding preliminarily today what to do next. So, but anyway, we've been getting mostly Pfizer, and I'd say mostly Moderna, and then they're ordering Pfizer for the 16, 17, and 18-year-olds because that hasn't been approved yet for the younger people.
And Kathy, it's been full steam ahead with the vaccine production and distribution, but are we getting close to the point at which nationally we kind of hit the wall and we've administered doses of vaccine to everyone who wants them? I read an article from Poynter Institute that maybe that the number is lower than people thought of people who are getting that and not high enough to reach herd immunity. So,
well, in order to get herd immunity without having a vaccine for kids, we were going to have to get every adult because, you know, how do you get up to 70-80% with it if you've got only 70-80% of adults? So they are working on seeing whether the vaccine can be used in younger people. I think there's one study going down to age 12. There's one study going down to age 6 months. I think that will make a giant difference. If we can vaccinate kids whose parents want them to be vaccinated, I still don't think why. I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want to vaccinate the kids if they can prove that the vaccine doesn't have any extra side effects in kids than it does in grownups. But anyway, we're not going to get to herd immunity with just grownups. Anytime there's any recall of anything, any pause on anything, people who were already nervous are going to get more nervous. And that's just the nature of the thing. So, you know, I'm glad they pulled it temporarily before, you know, make sure that there aren't a bunch of other cases out there that haven't been reported yet. You know, is the number really higher than 1 in 1 million? Or what can we do to mitigate that? Have the doctors ready to give the right thing instead of the wrong thing if you end up with this wild complication? You know, could we switch it to just, if it really is a male-female thing, can we switch to Johnson & Johnson to males instead? Whatever. From a scientific point of view, I'm glad they pulled it for a little while, but that doesn't mean that it won't make a comeback and be very safe. We're just trying to make sure that the vaccine isn't dangerous.
And Kathy, you mentioned kids' vaccination. What is the plan there? I've really read nothing about, you know, that they're, are they still in research and development? Or are they in testing for vaccine for under 16?
Yeah, they're in testing for that. Pretty much any time you have a new drug, you try it out on consenting adults first, unless it's a drug for only a kid's disease. But, you know, if people say, yep, I want to sign up for this vaccine trial, and then deciding for themselves, that's a lot easier than people deciding for their kids. And so they did it first in 18 and over or 16 and over, depending on which manufacturer. And, you know, now they've already started the trials on the same vaccine to try it out on 12 and over or on the little kids. They may have to have a different dose based on your size, either more or less. They may have to, you know, that's probably the main thing. And then also see whether there's, you know, too many side effects here if you're a little kid. We already know there's kind of a cutoff. No, it's not a cutoff, but there's an inflection point there about who spreads it more, little kids or big kids. And it kind of big kids kind of starting junior high age. And is that because of they're out and about more? Is that because they spew more virus than little kids? Is it because they cough in your face instead of on your knees? Nobody really knows that. But it seems most important to be able to vaccinate the people who are going to get the sickest, the oldest people, and the people who seem to spread it the most, which is the older people.
Any word, though, on when that might roll out? Is that...
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been several months that they've been working on it. but it takes a while to see whether it's going to work, whether it needs to be different dosing. It takes a while to do that. We actually got our first vaccine, the Moderna and the Pfizer, faster because the country was in such a mess in terms of how many cases there were at that time. It's easier to prove that something works to prevent it if lots of people are getting sick, and you can really see the difference between the people with the vaccine and the people without the vaccine. It'd be very hard to test vaccine in Valdez when there's not very many cases, you know. And the same thing with the kids. It may take longer now if those communities have kind of settled down where those test subjects are to be able to tell whether there's a real difference in how well it works.
All right. Well, thanks for that info. Is there anything else worth mentioning today? We went through a lot of info, but anything we missed?
No, I think we just need to not give up on our precautions. There's going to be things that we can say, boy, if you're vaccinated, you really have the green light to do a whole bunch of things. But right for the moment, we're still saying when you're out and about, wear your mask, just like everybody else. When you're home, when you're interacting with your grandkids, you really do have more more things that you can do safely. Maybe the travel's safer. Maybe we're going to let people into the hospital as visitors on the less restricted terms if you've been vaccinated. But if you're just going to go to the grocery store, still wear your mask, stay away from people. If we can add things on, add precautions onto vaccines, that's how we're going to get the numbers back down to very small numbers. Keep the kids in school, keep the businesses open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kathy.
Thank you.